You have just entered the Katie Ma Podcast. Keyboard plus mouse or die.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to episode 86 of the KB Mod Podcast. We've got a nice little tight-knit group for you today. We've got we've got Daniel, we've got Nicholas Fenton, and we've got Brandon and myself. Put your socks on. I don't know. How do you get comfortable? Put your feet up on your desk. I don't know.
Put your socks on. Nothing else, just socks.
Just your socks. And enjoy what we're about to talk about, but let's go into what we've been doing this
special
week.
Special Easter edition.
Let's dive into the big thing of the week. We'll just dive right into this game.
Okay.
BioShock Infinite.
Yes.
All right. It's out. The reviews are good, to say the least.
People actually been playing that? I haven't heard a whole lot of hype about it.
Yeah, I haven't heard anyone.
It kind of came out of nowhere.
Hidden gem, really.
Yeah. Really. It's very indie, very small title, but you may have played it. But I think the Metacritic is like a 94 or something. Like it's insane.
The only thing getting a Metacritic score over 90 is quite an accomplishment these days.
It really is.
And then if you really want to get upset, go read the reviews where people gave it like zeros or threes. It's just next level.
The best ones are the ones blaming the racism in it.
Oh, right, yeah.
I saw someone link one where I screened this game for my brother, and there's so much racism in it, I don't think I'm going to let him play it. 0 out of 10.
So much racism. There was just an overwhelming amount of racism.
Is it a platformer?
It's a 96 out of 100. Sorry.
We should talk about it. So first off here, I've beaten it, and I think Nick has beaten it, right?
I beat it.
And I've seen a good chunk of it, so...
Dan, you need to stop that.
I know.
You seriously need to stop. No, don't watch any more playthroughs. Don't talk to anyone about it, except us, obviously, right now.
Because
this is the game that you play in the dark for 2 days straight. You drink water and you shit in your chair, and you finish the game. That's it. That's how good it is. Because, I don't even play... I'm not a big single player. I mostly play multiplayer games, and this game arrested my attention for two straight days.
Let me ask you a question, Scott. Yeah. Ask you a question. So you're a big Half-Life 2 dude.
Yes.
On the scale of 1 to Half-Life 2.
Oh boy. Oh, you're going to do it.
Because this has been bandied about by people saying basically it's the best single player campaign in a shooter type game since Half-Life 2.
I agree.
You would agree with that?
I totally agree with that, and I would almost go one step farther. You guys know Half-Life 2 is my favorite game of all time, but I have to let this marinate for a little bit. But not only after finishing BioShock Infinite, did I stare at my computer screen as the credits rolled for 10 minutes, moderately speechless and letting everything sink in, not because there was so much of a shock ending, but just because of how good that whole experience is. Mm-hmm. It's number one or number two in my favorite games of all time. It may surpass Half-Life 2 just because I think the storytelling done in BioShock and some of the new things that they've done is just... I mean, obviously, Half-Life 2 for the time was incredible, but this kind of has just the narrative and the pacing, and it's just like an accomplishment that's kind of on par with, I don't know, like it's unheard of. I don't even know how to describe it. Like for me, it's like one of those things. This is what I said on the weekly update, actually, on Respawn this week. But I said this is a game. This is not just a game. It's not just a movie. It's not just, you know, a narrative. It's a piece of art that literally is going to be required, like in schools, and you know, 20 years from now, they're going to be like, you got to read War and Peace, you got to watch, you know, some Gone with the Wind, and then you got to play BioShock Infinite. I'm telling you, it's going to be one of those kind of games. I think.
So, with you saying that, as far as the immersion,
yeah,
I haven't played it. I will, you know, say that, but just watching it. Yeah. The amount of detail, and PC Gamer was saying this in their previews like a couple months ago, but I was like, there's no way it really is that. No, it is that immersive.
It's
like everything is interactive, and you can kind of you can watch all the little films, and you can even the carnival, like the carnival games, which are kind of the tutorial to the game.
Yeah.
But even those, it's like it's like the whole entire world that those people live in Colombia is basically, I mean, so immersive and so detailed that it's I'm not surprised this was delayed 3 or 4 times.
No, absolutely not.
Delayed.
And also, like, the beginning of Infinite, the first hour is the most most breathtaking mind fuck of a wonder as you go into the city, and like you said, you're walking through, seeing how alive it is, the colors. It's crazy. And then when the action actually starts, it's the most jarring moment. I don't know, Dan, you've already watched 4 hours, so you may have seen that when the shit starts to go down after the first hour or so.
Well, basically, I've seen a good hour probably after you get Elizabeth.
Okay.
But the whole scene of getting Elizabeth and the first time you meet up with her, this isn't a spoiler. Everyone knows she's in the game.
Exactly.
But when that whole building falls apart, like around you, and that whole like chase scene out there, that is one of the most impressive things I've ever seen in a game.
Yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Part of the reason that I was so taken aback was because the game was so hyped, and I went into it like, I mean, I liked the original Bioshock. I didn't play Bioshock 2. And then to go into this game, I was like, okay, I mean, it can't be. I mean, obviously it's going to be good, but can it live up to these critic reviews and this hype? And it just far exceeded that. It's one of those things where it's like, you just have to play it yourself. And it doesn't do justice to watch it. It doesn't do justice to read. Sam, did I see you said you read the plot line and watched the ending and weren't impressed? You're out of your mind. You got to play the game.
That
makes no sense, because the whole point is the journey. And also, like, not since a game like Half-Life 2 where you become attached to a character like you do Alex. In this game, it's even done to an even more epic extent, I feel like. And wow, with Elizabeth, like, you fucking care about that character. And when you're, like, fighting shit, you're like, if they fucking touch her, I will lose my shit. Like, you really get into it. It's just so well done.
So Nick Fenton has also played through the whole game. How do you feel, Nick?
I want Nick's opinions on this.
I think it's... I like everything. I think everything in that game is very good, but my personal preference that I liked the combat in Bioshock 2 better, but I'm not saying the combat in Bioshock Infinite is bad, because it flows very well. But, I guess one thing that I didn't like was I wasn't used to just, like, shooting regular dudes. I think the splicers in Bioshock 1 and 2 are just a more interesting enemy.
The splicers
enemy.
They're more interesting. I can agree with the enemy differences, yeah. I don't think the enemy.
But, like, they also threw in, like, the different, I forget what the name of the plasmids are in Bioshock Infinite, but there's, like...
Vigors,
yes. Yeah. There's, like, enemies that have those, and then they'll have the handymen and the, what are the... are they called Patriots? I don't remember.
Yeah, the Patriots.
The ones
are
with the chain guns.
Mechanical. Yeah, mechanical.
But yeah, like, I think the most impressive thing, at least for me, was the soundtrack. I think that sold everything. Like, it was really good. The sound in general, the voice acting and everything. It was also...
it's amazing, the voice acting.
It's different. I don't want to really comment on the story too much, because Bioshock, I can talk about Bioshock 1 still to this day. So, like, trying to comment on a story on a Bioshock game a week after is really difficult.
We don't want to do any spoilers for anyone listening, watching live or listening.
Well, just even the general story. There's so many things in there that are going on.
What difficulty did each of you play it on?
I did my first one on normal. I'm going to try and go back and play 1999. But I'll probably just hate myself.
Yeah, I always do. I always choose normal. Though I saw the PC Gamer article even before I played it that recommended hard, because it can be easy.
Yeah, that was a complaint I heard. Sorry, that was a
which
complaint
I could
heard
see,
people.
But it's for me,
easy.
It's like I feel like normal is the difficulty that they want you to play the first time to get the whole story and not be like, because even at the end I died a few times on normal. Like, it gets a little hairy at times if you don't mix your abilities well. So, I don't know. I didn't have a problem with it. I do agree, though. It was a little easy, like, up until the very end. It doesn't get too hard. But I was fine with it. Like, I don't know. But I agree. I might go back and try 99 mode as well, because it was...
One other thing that was super weird for me was the fact that the main character was talking. It was just... It's kind of like if you made Gordon Freeman talk, almost, but it's not really...
Right.
Did,
and I think they did a fantastic job on that. Like, because I agree, like... And it made me wish Gordon Freeman had talked in Half-Life 2, which is fucking weird.
I was going to say, in Bioshock 1 and 2, did the guy you play, they don't talk? I didn't believe they did.
Neither of them. Neither of those characters talk.
Okay. This is a little departure.
Because in the second one, you don't play the same guy. You play as a Big Daddy.
Yeah. Okay. So, but neither one, there's no... So they're Gordon Freemans, essentially.
It's all through... You get most of the dialogue just through, like, events and then audio logs for the most part.
Yeah. Okay. So
it's been a while since I've seen such universal acclaim. Like, Destructoid, Game Informer, Joystick, Eurogamer, Polygon, Giant Bomb, Inside Gaming, all perfect scores.
Yep.
I don't know that I've ever seen that before.
Yeah, and it's... I don't know if you have seen or done anything much with it, Brandon, but...
I've seen a little bit of it. I've watched a little bit of streams.
As a person who hasn't played it, I'm still actually just blown away by how much they put you
in. The presentation is, like really ridiculous.
Yeah, it's so like, crazy.
This isn't a spoiler because it's just a part of the environment. Like, it's like maybe 40 minutes into the game. There's this part where an airship comes up to the side of like with the platform, and it's this doo-wop group singing or whatever.
Acapella doo-wop.
Yeah, they're just like I just sat there for 5 minutes and I just listened. I just listened to them singing, and then I moved on. And like you can just take so much time just walking through that world.
There's also a moment, too. So as I was playing through the game, this isn't really a spoiler either. Well, maybe a little bit, but as you're playing through the game, like, I get in the habit of just taking when you're looting, you're going through, you're just like, take all. And there's a point where they're like, hey, if you actually steal in this area, it'll be red, and like, you'll have to fight, kill someone.
Blacklight was just brazenly looting shops.
Right, to do that. So it just becomes a habit because you want to find, currency and all that stuff. So there's a point at which in the game where you go to this shanty town, which is obviously the worker poor section of the city. And I was like going around and I was like just stealing stuff, not even thinking about it, like not giving a fuck. Like, I was like, fuck these people. I don't really care. And then you go into this, if you explore the whole area, I went through really slow because I was trying to collect like all the voxophones and all the stuff. You go into this bar and it's like just this rundown bar, all these like poor people, like drunk and stuff like that. And I walked over, go down to the basement, and there's this little kid who's like scrounging around for food in the basement. And then you look over and there's a guitar sitting on against the wall, and you can interact with it. And you're like, like, what the heck? So you hit F, and Booker picks up the guitar, sits down in the chair. So this is in first person mode, and he starts playing "Let the Circle Be Unbroken," I think it's called, on his guitar. And then Elizabeth starts singing to the little boy who's scrounging around for food, and she hands him like an apple. It's fucking beautiful.
That's unbelievable.
It's like, and literally after that moment, I was like, I don't want to fucking steal from these people. I feel like an ass. And I literally, instead of going upstairs and looting the bar, I just left. I was like, I feel bad. And I was like, I've never done that in any game ever. Like, that's never been a moment where I'm like, I give a shit. And it's one of the greatest video game scenes of all time. It's just fucking so amazing. And, but some people are saying they missed that. If you don't explore, I recommend going through really slowly and like go to every area, because there's a lot of little things like that you can miss.
So yeah, that's not really a spoiler. People complaining. No, it's just not a main story thing. It's a really cool, cool moment. But another thing I want to talk about, which this isn't a spoiler, is we mentioned this just before the cast actually started. But I felt like a little bit in the beginning. I know they want to get you into the mindset of that world, but I thought the racism actually at times was a little bit like heavy handed. It was almost like, let's push this, man, like right in your face. It didn't
kinda
like
just
put
like,
me off.
It jumps
but it
out of
like,
nowhere at one point. It's just like, hey, remember, this is a kind of a period piece. So here we go.
Yeah,
we're racist.
Here's the black people. Like it was, but there's a really cool scene that I saw in Adam Sessler's review, and this is not, again, not a spoiler. I'm gonna keep saying that because it's that kind of game. I don't want to ruin it. Where you walk into
actually, let's just say this. If you're listening right now and you're still listening and you're afraid of spoilers, stop listening. If you're listening to the recorded podcast, skip ahead a few minutes. How about that?
But there's a scene where Booker, the main character, goes into like I believe it's a bathroom, but I'm not totally sure.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like a whites only area, and there's like there's like a black person with him, and she's like, I believe it's a she is like, oh, well, you have fun in there. Like, I can't follow you in there. I'll just be waiting. Like, and it was just like, wow. Like, they even include stuff like that. And that was not, like, a scripted event. That was just, like, him entering an area. But it's really, I don't know. They put that. That didn't bother me. I'm just saying, like, they take it to the full extent.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's supposed to be like that. I didn't have any issue with it personally. Cause you go in there and it's like, the world, they did the best job of any game I've ever seen, as well as like telling the story through the world. Like, you can read the propaganda posters. There's a point in which you go into this, into a group, I think it's called the Raven Clan or whatever, and they worship John Wilkes Booth, and it's a statue of John Wilkes Booth blowing Lincoln's head off. It's like crazy, like the whole alternate
universe. There's a bunch of John Wilkes Booth, like,
yeah, statues. It's really cool. yeah, the way they kind of, and they make deities, obviously. This is not spoilers, this is the story. Some of the stories that they make deities out of, like, you know, presidents, and then they make them racist. Yeah. In that, like, because they were, like, superior,
yeah, like,
to the white
in
race.
Like,
and,
like, the first 5 minutes of the game, you dropped off and you see, like, it's like George Washington, yeah, Benjamin Franklin, and who's the third person?
John Wilkes Booth, I think.
John Wilkes?
No, I don't. There's three people. I don't think it's John Wilkes Booth. Yeah. It's somebody else, and they're all like these giant statues and stuff. It's great.
And now this will definitely not be a spoiler because I don't know what happens, but don't really comment on what what Elizabeth's deal is. But when you first get to, like, the place where Elizabeth is being, I don't know if held's even the right word, but held or studied or however you want to say what she's been doing, because I don't know what happens with this, so if you're worried about that. But that's just such a crazy thing, because you get to, like, the way they pace you through that. I don't know, just everything about it looks painstakingly, and I guess this game's been, what, 6 years in the making
detail,
or something like
that?
But
totally.
Just the detail, I've never, not even, like, the Final Fantasy games or, like, RPGs like that, or the Witcher series is another good kind of parallel. As far as RPGs where you can interact with everything, they aren't even as detailed. Like, Skyrim is not even as detailed as BioShock Infinite seems, in my opinion. Now, it's a smaller world, granted, but still,
there's so much detail.
Stuff.
So much detail.
So,
I mean, I don't know. We could talk. I could talk about it for fucking hours, but then I would really start getting into spoilers.
To wrap up my thoughts, I think, besides the soundtrack, which is just incredible, like, one of the most impressive parts of it is that it's very, very, it's the opposite of BioShock. It's Rapture is underwater and Columbia's up in the air. It's like as opposite as it can be. Like, Rapture is all about, like, being your, like, away from a religion, like, no rulers and all this stuff, and, like, Columbia's about religion. It's like the complete opposite, but the entire game still feels like BioShock.
Yeah,
it feels very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Even past, like, the fact that it's, like, more open, kind of.
Yeah.
But, like, it still feels like a BioShock game. It doesn't feel foreign at all. Like, you can... From someone that's played the BioShock games multiple times, it's just... It's BioShock.
To its core.
It's a must-play. It's an absolute... And don't... This is the last thing I'll say about it is... Do not watch play... Please, for the love of fuck, do not watch playthroughs. If you plan to play through it and you want to be surprised... Do not just avoid. I mean, we actually really legitimately didn't say any spoilers in this topic.
No,
but
we
don't
really didn't, but.
Don't do any of that until you play at least one time through. So
yeah,
you gotta. So.
I also had I texted Alex about this too when I finished the game. I was like, there were a couple times where I'm sitting at my computer and, like, when I play games by myself, I don't say anything. I sit in quiet like a nerd. Yeah. And, like, there are times during BioShock Infinite where I sat here and I went, fuck. Because, like, it just dropped so much on you in such, like, dude. It's just like, boom.
The ending, like, of that game.
BioShock,
is such...
bitch.
Yeah.
It's just there. They do it over and over again. It's just ridiculous.
The ending of that game.
What else have we been playing? I feel like we're getting awfully close to spoilers here and people are getting salty.
Yeah, people are getting a little salty in chat.
Hey, don't listen. Don't
listen to this part. We'll put timestamps.
I'm sorry, how long has the game been out? Oh, a week? You should have beat it by now, scrubs. Come on. Let's go. Okay, sorry.
So, yes, we will move on now, but I'm going to mark this down here in the old document as far as for the audio listeners later. But anyway, so we will move on. So, Scott, What else have you been playing this week?
What else have I been playing? So I played, obviously, beat Bioshock Infinite, been playing League of Legends. What else did I play? Play a little bit of the new Gears game, the campaign.
I know it's a console game, but
yeah.
I want to ask you about this. Because this giant bomb set, and from the way they described it, is that it seems like a game where they made that game because they had a contract to do a fourth game.
It wasn't made by Epic. It was offhanded to People Can Fly something. Is that the name of the development studio? Yeah. I think it's something like that.
Same with the new God of War. They covered them. I'm not saying
that studio's bad at all. They made
The game's not bad. I think I mean,
Bulletstorm. I think they can make good games. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't play Gears multiplayer because I'm bad at it and I get my shit pushed in. So
people like the Gears of War like story though in general.
Yeah,
like
I don't know. I liked it. I mean, like, I'm not a veteran of the series, so I mean, it's gotten decent reviews. I think it's fun. I like what they have this thing where you can declassify. They give you declassify objectives, which basically add difficulty to the game. So like it's like, hey, beat the section using only a shotgun. Or I think it's interesting. I don't think it's like the best game of all time or anything, but I think it's competent for a Gears game. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's okay. Tetris Ninja with the meh.
What I've watched of it, like when you watch like Gears 1, Gears 2, Gears 3, like you can tell they're all their own games for the most part. Yeah. But like if you've played them, I guess if it's you're just like, I've never played Gears in my life. These all look the same, but like. Judgment and 3 look very, very similar from like a spectator standpoint. It looks just pretty much the same game. Probably there's probably things in like multiplayer that are different. There's probably like small mechanics that are different, but
yeah. Well, the shoddy now, you can't have the shotgun as a secondary. You have to either use it as a primary or nothing. So that kind of sucks. So that's the multiplayer bit.
So
that's about it. I'm trying to think. Well, actually, no. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. That's all I've been playing.
What about you, Nick? Just Bioshock? Oh, you have been playing a lot of another game.
We've been playing a bunch of a few KBMO guys and just like assorted bros and hoes. I don't know if there's actually been any hoes involved, but we've been playing some Smite. For some random reason, like we were all just like, Smite, that's a game, we should play that. So we've been playing it and it's like super fun. I haven't played that game in a while, so I'm like, I'm in on that game right now. I just want to be like, buying skins, not really, kind of.
Yeah, Chaz is playing right now as we record this podcast. So.
Yeah, okay, if you buy skins in Smite, you can never make fun of me for buying skins in League of Legends, so that's how that works.
Why would you want all the heroes?
Okay. Yeah, why would you want all the heroes in Smite? So
I don't know, Bart. Why would I want all the heroes, Bart? Bart? Wink, wink. Okay. But that game, I just hadn't played it in a while, and I came back and I was like, this is very enjoyable. There's like lots of game modes and stuff, and you can just
kind of pick them out. I had no idea those game modes existed. I knew the domination existed.
Yeah,
where are the other game modes?
There's a domination game mode where you have to let you like hold towers. It's like domination in Call of Duty pretty much, but there's an arena mode, which is just 5v5 in like in a Coliseum setting thing, and you just kind of run down points until one team loses, and then
There's
random game types. Like,
yeah, there's a Norse-only mode, like where you have to play the Norse gods.
Yeah, there was one yesterday that was all cat characters. It was called Cool Cats. It was all characters that looked like cats. It was awesome.
And as we mentioned last week a little bit, we interviewed Todd Harris at PAX, and they're obviously riding high on Smite right now. They're having a lot of
What is the player base for that game? Do we know? Like, what's
I have no idea.
It's in six figures, though, I would say.
You can get into a game.
Not daily, but...
You can get into a game pretty easily, so...
But
the queue system's pretty interesting, I think.
The matchmaking is still my biggest problem with it. And this is kind of a function of the player base, but... Mm-hmm. Like, I was playing the other night with John and Orb... And we had a group of five, and I think the way it works is you only ever get queued with groups of five.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we got queued. I think one of us in the group was level 30. The rest of us were not. We got queued with, no joke, one guy from Reason Gaming, like a pro Smite team, and like three other dudes that all had over 1,000 wins at level 30. So like I have no idea how we ever should have been matched with that team. given like our average level was probably like 19 or 20.
And isn't ELO supposed to figure into it or something?
I don't know, but like that's the
to be more weight with the skill based.
That was one of those games where I was like, I don't ever want to play this game again if that's how the matchmaking is going to work.
It's complete. Yeah. It's like one or another. It's like you're either going to get put against a team of five that's like equally as dumb as your team, so like you have a chance, or you're just going to stomp them, or you're going to get put against people that are just going to smash your faces in for the next 10 minutes until you can surrender.
When I played a game with you guys, like me and you, like we're actually doing okay in our lane, but we could literally do nothing to the people in our lane. Like we had no chance of ganking them or anything. Like I was dead in seconds, like every time. Granted, I'm not like, very good, but it was still.
I feel
just
like more than League Smite, you can see the end coming. Like if you start going downhill, you just have to basically suck it up, and you know there's no chance you can win, but you just have to tough it out. Whereas
well,
I feel like
Smite games kind of roll out faster anyway, so you can
they do, but I've seen. Yeah. Like I don't think I've ever really seen an incredible Smite comeback in any of my games. Like usually,
I was going to ask that. Yeah, if they snowball, is it pretty much? Because I mean that happens in all MOBAs, but in League, I've seen insane comebacks. I've been parts of them.
Yeah, so. I haven't seen any like that in Smite. And the thing is, the towers I feel like are not powerful enough, because like we were getting rushed at level 5 and 6, guys dropping under tower to kill us. So I don't know. I mean. Maybe if the matchmaking was better, I'd be more inclined to keep playing it. But that one experience is like, I don't want this to happen again. I don't want to play and have the chance of coming up against people who, like, if I had an experience like that in League matchmaking, I wouldn't play League either.
Like,
I think it's enjoyable. I've been having fun because Chez is doing his 30 days of Smite where he's just going to play Smite every day and try and learn a MOBA. So, like, I can play with him, and like I have basic knowledge of MOBAs, so like I'm helping Chez while I'm learning things about the game at the same time.
Chez can hit those skill shots too, because he's pretty good at FPS, so he can do that. But just hasn't played a MOBA. I just don't like him. That's all there is to it.
I tried. I was like, "There's domination. I know you like domination.
Just not my style,
little
game,
bitch."
So, Brandon, what have you been doing this week?
Like I said, I played a little bit of Smite. I've played some League. I actually streamed the other night. I streamed some Hotline Miami.
Kind
of late.
What a game. Yeah. Just leave it on with the soundtrack playing, and your stream
is so good. It's
popular.
Yeah, it's so good. I mean, the soundtrack by itself, I was just jamming out. Like, I kept dying on, you know, on the same level over and over. I was like, I don't even care. The soundtrack is great. I feel like I'm just cruising through this level.
On an acid trip. It's great.
Yeah, the whole thing. It's awesome. And then I've been playing through more of the Heart of the Swarm campaign. I'm not sure how far through it I am, but the story is getting a little like I feel like the story is definitely not as impactful.
Again, that was something I heard is that Blizzard just kind of threw in the towel at points.
Yeah, I mean I, at this point it's like I'm not really that heavily invested in the StarCraft lore and story, because I feel like it's just not what it once was. But the campaign itself, I still think is really good, and I'm enjoying it because they've done the same thing they did with Wings of Liberty, where you still have kind of unique mechanics to each level, and you have like evolving units and stuff. So I'm enjoying it. I think I'm maybe like halfway through it, and it's cool too because Kerrigan like levels up. She's kind of like your hero character, and you can customize her. So
yeah,
it's I don't know, it's really good. So I was actually playing that before the cast. I'm going to try and finish that up. And then based on what I'm hearing about BioShock, maybe I've got to play BioShock next, but so that I don't get spoiled.
You have
but
to.
I'm going
to
finish
the big issue with a game like that is like you have to beat it to the punch to do like if you want to get it.
Yeah.
Otherwise something might happen. The more time goes by, the more you're risking that you might ruin that experience for yourself.
Yeah. I know. So that may be my next game. But for now, Heart of the Swarm is really good. And I've been enjoying that campaign. Probably never going to play online, though.
Too
scary.
That game's
too
hard. I have been playing the old standbys, COD 4 and Isaac, a bunch this week. those are always games I I can play or stream. But I've also been playing some Trials. Still playing Trials, still grinding away. That game, I'm so bad at Trials. Just bad at it. It's, but it's a really
Everyone
fun
is
game.
Bad at Trials, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's a really fun game, but I'm
It's just, made to make you angry. Like, as soon you'll get to a... Everyone gets to a point. Mm-hmm. And then you just hate yourself. But you will not stop. You will continue to hate yourself. You will not fix your mistakes. You will be the definition of insanity. Yeah. You will do everything over and over again, expecting a different outcome, because that's Trials. That's what you do.
Yep. And I also did... Now, I'm going to probably stream this game at some point, but I did the tutorial for Sword of the Stars, The Pit. It's a roguelike indie game, but it's more RPG-ish than, like, Isaac, for instance. Whereas, like, Isaac, the lore's all fucked up around that game, but, like, I have no attachment to that. But this is more of a pure RPG. Like, you have armor, and you have levels and that kind of stuff. So I'm going to be playing The Pit. It was gifted to me by Zoe Smith.
Zoe 101.
So I'll be playing The Pit at some point on a stream. And then, but pretty much I just was going with the standards. Oh, and I restarted The Witcher this week. I reinstalled and restarted The Witcher. And I'm basically flew through the intro so I could get to the meat of the game where I left off. So I'm going to be playing through that. I hope I can get it finished this time. I don't think The Witcher is that incredibly long if you just kind of go straight through. But, God, it still looks so good. And that game was on the 2007 BioWare engine. And I have it on, like, high everything. It still looks fantastic. Especially the faces. Yeah, the meat of the game's Blair's on chat, the meat of the game being boning Triss Marigold. Yes.
Of course.
Just boobies. That's all The Witcher is boobies. Witcher 2 is really a lot of boobies. But, so I've been playing that, and I also got the Humble Android bundle, because there were Plants vs. Zombies on there, The Room, which is also an iPad, iPhone game, if you have one of those. But The Room is supposed to be amazing. Like, super atmospheric and very cool. So... It's going to be, I'm going to be playing through that on my phone. Oh, man, it's a John. A wild John has appeared mid-cast.
Nice.
but I'm going to be playing through that, and then Metal Slug 3 was also in that bundle, which is a really fun, like, 16-bit game. So I'll be playing those. Now, John left again. He has to close that closet when he comes on the cast.
Yeah, it's creepy.
I fucking hate when that closet's open. It really gets on my nerves when I'm looking at the camera.
So we're,
it's like something's going to come out of it.
We're finishing up what we've been playing this week. We already discussed the Bioshock Infinite, but what were you playing this week? I know you dipped into Bioshock a little bit.
Yeah, I'm actually going to play it slowly because the mistake I made with Bioshock 1, the original, was that I couldn't fully appreciate it because I just kind of rushed through it. Mm-hmm. I think I finished it in 2 days. So this one, I kind of want to take my time like I did with Far Cry 3. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I've been playing TF2. We're finally eliminated from the playoffs. We took sixth in the first season, which is pretty good.
Not bad.
You guys will get moved up, right?
Yeah, really? We'll be in. We'll be. Yeah, we're moved up. We won 3 playoff games. You only have to win 1. So, and then still playing a little bit of WoW. Not as much because I was grinding for the playoffs, and then Bioshock came out.
I may or may not have missed Pandaria, and I may or may not be streaming it tomorrow night.
Daniel, oh
my. Good.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Are you actually going to try and stream 1 through 90? That's going to be.
Won't take that long. One through 60 is like not that long anymore. I know it's been a while probably since you leveled something, but it used to be like 12 days of playtime. It's like, it's not that long.
It's 1 day of playtime now.
Yeah. And I will be spacing it out, but yes, I'll be starting a character.
RIP Dance family.
You have heirlooms?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If the old ones still work, that is.
They do. They do. We're good. Let's do this.
But yeah, so I'll be starting
leveling a warlock.
Someone graciously had an extra code for Pandaria laying around, or else I probably wouldn't be doing this. But yeah, so I'm gonna go going, getting rezzed up and starting that tomorrow. But I got it. I'm going to sit there probably. I'm going to have to get on early tomorrow and set up my UI, get all my add-ons.
Yep.
The joys of WoW. Get like 40 add-ons and then...
That actually is the best part of WoW.
It is the best part of WoW. Sit there and do your UI for like an hour and a half. But
I just use Tuck UI now. I don't have to do anything. I just install that in my
I might do that then.
It's so easy, dude, and it looks good. Looks fine.
Might do that. I've never played WoW on a computer with more than 2 gigs of RAM as well. So this will be an experience. This will be like, shit. Yeah. It's gonna be like, holy shit, the town, it loads. So I'm pretty excited though. Pretty excited. I've missed an MMO in my life. But we'll see where it goes.
It's nice and casual now too. Like, I don't care that I pay $15 to play it. I get my 15 minutes of fun out of it when I play it for like 3 or 4 days straight.
It has been a year since I've actually played. I was subscribed longer than that, but it's been a year since it's actually been played. So we were only playing one night a week when I quit. Like, literally everyone would log on one night, then we raid, and then we wouldn't log on again. Wasn't doing any extra stuff, but pretty pumped. So we'll see where that goes.
We now interrupt your scheduled programming to bring you an urgent broadcast from the front lines of America.
So the first thing we're going to talk about was an article that we actually made a post on. We made a lot of posts last week, because if you thought we weren't posting that much, we did make a lot of posts last week. But this one came as kind of, well, it wasn't shocking to people that want Diablo 3 to be good, but it was shocking that they came out and said what they did with this. So Jay Wilson was at GDC 2013, I believe, doing a panel, and basically said that the auction house really hurt the game, which he's saying this now that he's left the team.
Fine. Yeah, that's not surprising, but also not.
Yeah. So, and also he said that Blizzard, not Jay Wilson. This isn't like Jay Wilson being like, you know what, if I could go back and do it again. No, he said that Blizzard would turn off the auction houses if they could at this point. Which I've said from pretty much day one, the thing that broke that game as far as how it should play was the auction house.
I feel like there should be an auction house, but there should be a certain tier of gear which you can't put on the AH. Like lower level items that people would use the level should be fine. Mm-hmm. Like those, you should be able to just have the gold on one character, buy those so you can level quickly. But end game gear should not be only acquired via the auction house.
They've tried to incrementally address that by making better crafting shit, and then making some of the stuff that you create the crafted stuff with, you can't put it on the auction house. You have to go farm it. But that doesn't really, I mean, stem the
that
tide.
That still doesn't address the crux of the problem.
What you're doing for gear is not what I would like to consider farming, though. Like, you're just going out and killing shit. That's not farming. Yeah. Farming is killing a specific mob a million times for the hopes that it drops your item.
And
what you're doing is grinding for gear, not farming.
And the other thing that he said in here was that Blizzard is actually looking into ways to basically cut the auction house out. And my speculation has always been, and I say it in the article, is that they will just simply come out with a pure mode or something like that, or like old school mode. They'll name it something clever, like, I don't know, but where there just isn't an auction house in that ladder. It just won't exist in that ladder, but I am hoping that is what they do, because I will play that game again, because as I've always said, the combat feel in that game is way more fun than it is in like Path of Exile or Torchlight 2. But it is surprising, because as I've pretty much over the last year, Blizzard's become scumbag Blizzard more often than not.
Until Heart of the Swarm.
Yeah, Heart of the Swarm's good. Brandon said he's been playing it.
We just got done shit-talking that campaign, so...
Yeah, a little bit shit-talk. Said the story kind of died near the end, but...
Well, I haven't played through all of it. I'm just saying, it's not... That's not what's keeping me playing it.
But, I don't know. It's Yeah, it's the Activision fusing, as someone in chat just said. We've been kind of seeing it, and obviously Diablo 3 is coming out on PlayStation 4, and in PlayStation 3? Because it was definitely playable on consoles at PAX.
Yeah, it's on both.
But I could totally see the PC version going, just having us ending up with a smaller dev team and just ending up being a completely different game at some point. Like, no, like a no auction house mode, or like 8 players. That would be great. 8 players would be awesome.
The way I look at it is, people were playing Diablo 2 on and off for 11 years. Nobody's going to be playing Diablo 3 for 11 years.
Yeah.
Well, not unless they really put some effort into making it a better game and an experience that keeps people wanting to keep playing it for that long. Right now, it's not that. But I think, like, it's really in Blizzard's best interest, given that that's one of their core franchises, of which they only have a few. They have to keep milking that. So I think, hopefully, we see it get better. And I'm surprised it's taken them the better part of a year to come up with something, when it was pretty obvious right off the bat that the auction house was turning a lot of people off. I'm frankly surprised that they're working on something, because if I thought they were working on something, I would have thought they'd have it out by now.
Yeah,
it's not like they just found out that the auction house wasn't a good idea.
They were building card games, bro.
They're building car games, and
I'm actually excited for that shit.
I want to. I will play Hearthstone.
I want to play it.
That will actually
happen. I probably won't like it, but I want to play it.
It seems really fast paced, but
anything Blizzard, I want to play it.
But as far as D3, I mean, I will buy the expansions to D3 regardless, because I'll want to play whatever new class is in there. I can give a
shit. That's the thing, is they've got to try and build that goodwill back up, so that people are going to buy the expansions like people are buying Heart of the Swarm. Like, no one who played StarCraft 2 is not buying Heart of the Swarm. They're going to sell millions and millions of copies, and they need Diablo 3 to be that same cash cow.
Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like every time I get a little hope for the game, I'm like, yeah, they're going in the right direction. I mean, we'll have to see what they actually do to address this, because they said they are actively looking for a way to address it. So let's hope they're not full of shit, because I'll play that game again. It's installed on my computer right now. I just haven't played it recently.
The only thing is that I wish that this didn't come from Jay Wilson, guy who is no longer on the dev team. This needs to be coming from someone on the dev team. Be like, hey, this is what we're working on. You know, there needs to be transparency. If there's some big feature coming up that is going to, you know, change the auction house, or kind of get rid of it, or have a mode or whatever, why not tell people about it and gauge interest on that?
I feel like
try and refine it.
Their shit is so out of line, because PvP's not even out yet properly. Like, that was supposed to be out by Christmas, and then it was supposed to be out in 1.07, and they put that brawl mode in, which is just like dueling. And then, but I mean, there's supposed to be like an arena mode in this game that was promised from day one. And then, you know, we all know it got scrapped for day one, and it was like, oh, it'll be here. And it's still not here nearly a year later. So,
That'll be pretty damning if they don't have proper PvP in the game by the year anniversary.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. If they end up saying at some point here, like, if it's not playable, arena mode isn't playable by BlizzCon, then they're fucked.
That'll be like maybe that's an announcement at BlizzCon the day this event is over. We'll be implementing PvP or something. They're going to use BlizzCon as some kind of marketing scheme for it.
BlizzCon
for Diablo
in
some way.
BlizzCon has to include Diablo 3 expansion news, and it has to include Titan news, or else nobody gives a shit. It's basically what that comes down to. Because the next WoW expansion is pretty much a given. That's just going to happen. So
it's going to be soon, too. I think they'll probably announce that at BlizzCon as well.
Well, Cataclysm only lasted a year, so this will only last a year. That cycle is just going to keep ramping. But they have had a lot of that mapped out for years. So
yeah.
But moving on to the next thing. So hopefully Blizzard gets their act together. New Xbox rumors. We do have to talk about the new consoles. This is kind of old now, but no one has refuted it at Microsoft, and nothing's come about of it. And as EA this week at GDC shit on their own DRM, basically, you know, acknowledging SimCity's complete and utter failure. And then we had the Team Meat article, which we cut out of the news, but is a really, really damning look at DRM. the new Xbox console is going to be a required internet connection, which we thought I think both of them will anyway, PS4 as well. But all games will be required to be installed to the hard disk. So to me, I don't know, that second part, man, if you don't have that big of a budget to get, you know, the super elite version, because you know there's going to be tiers or whatever. Games are only getting bigger. BioShock's like 17 gigs or something.
Fucking Max Payne, man.
Yeah.
Max Payne was like almost 30 gigs?
Yeah.
I think it was more.
It's... You cannot require this sort of DRM and make discs like a PC as an install only and then put a 250 gig hard drive or something in this machine. You just can't, because you know the OS is going to be bigger too on this new machine.
But they might want to sell you proprietary external hard drives.
That's... I can see that, but God,
it's all a business.
They better be Thunderbolt or USB 3.0 if I want to play games off them.
Yeah, see ya, bud.
They probably will.
But this has sparked a lot of controversy. A lot of people are basically like, well, I'm just getting a PS4 if this is true. Because
I've actually heard a lot of talk about that, how Sony with the PS4 is doing a lot of good developer relations stuff, mm-hmm. and with the Xbox, Microsoft just isn't.
Yeah, they just... Microsoft seems to think, because they did have the distinct advantage in this generation, yeah. The Xbox 360 distinct advantage over the PS3 in a lot of ways, but I think they're just saying, well, we're the king now, I won't be out. Like, how can you mentally think that way if you're Microsoft? The PC's been gaining traction the last 3 or 4 years because it's so far ahead of 8-year-old hardware, and now you got the PS4 where it's just going to make the PC as attractive anyway with the porting options, and you're going to go on and put your games on a full always-online DRM, knowing that your main market for the Xbox, unlike the PS3, your main market for the Xbox is North America, where the internet isn't that great as well.
I don't think they're going to be able to do anything that's too far from what Sony's doing, because I think it's too big of a gamble, and that, like, the Xbox 720 or Durango or whatever it's called,
it's going to be called,
is going to... I mean, that's a decade long strategy. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that they can try and take such a bold stance, given that Sony's already pretty much... I mean, we know it's not going to be always online for Sony.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hey, a guy from Australia in the chat right now. Of course, don't complain about American internet. Yes, Australia's really bad. And if this is true, good luck. Good luck with your Xbox.
Enjoy your 300 pings.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I hope that isn't true. I just mentally can't see, you know, like... I can't comprehend that Microsoft would actually put that into fruition, but we'll see. But moving on to the SimCity, probably the last time we'll talk about SimCity, unless there's like some monumental patch for it.
Fuck you, SimCity. Sorry.
EA at
broke my heart.
GDC said that basically it was Maxis who wanted the always online, because SimCity was supposed to be marketed as an MMO.
What?
Now, thanks for telling us.
Tell me which one you think is worse. EA mandating the always online stuff because they wanted it to be kind of pseudo DRM, or Maxis thinking a SimCity MMO was going to be a better idea than a single player SimCity.
It's just like,
I don't know which one is worse.
Now, back and forth. It's like...
Because here's my thing. An MMO SimCity... That's called Minecraft, okay? That's called Minecraft, and that's a thing that already exists. Minecraft isn't just a Sim City; it's a Sim World. That is the MMO version of building a city.
Why
or a not? World.
Why did they name this Sim City? It should have been called Sim World.
Well, it's like they put it. They kind of went halfway with it because it's not an MMO. You just have regions. It's just a bunch of people kind of playing together, sort of. But not really. Like, an MMO means you're with thousands of other people in an actual shared experience. SimCity isn't really that. It's kind of like, oh, this is the single-player experience, but we're going
to hamstring
it. But
there's a people next to you.
Yeah, there's someone next to the city next to me.
You can go look at their city, but you can't really help them that much.
You know what the shitty thing is, too, about that? If you notice on most of the regions in SimCity, even when it's a 16-person region, yeah, it's only four cities connected to each other. So, like, we were the first KB mod region we rolled was, like, half the region was completely disconnected from the other half. We couldn't help them at all, and they couldn't help us at all. So if we needed anything, we had to just fucking stuff all that shit in our own city, which doesn't work in this game. So, I mean, I don't know. They're just, I feel like they are just two kids pointing the finger at this point, Maxis, yeah, and...
Okay. At least you know they're not going to be working together anymore.
Yeah, I think... I don't think...
Well, Maxis has owned it from the start. It's just that now EA is like, yep, it was Maxis' fault.
Yeah, and just why not just give us SimCity?
At the end of the day, man, I don't think any of us give a fuck. We're just annoyed that it was so disappointing overall because there's so many good ideas in there, and like when it is working and humming along for your first 4 hours before you get fucked in the ass by the same problem you have every time. Yeah, it's real fun, and then you're like, well, let me start another city, and then, oh god, it's super frustrating. Is that Harry Potter on the N64?
Is that the Quidditch game?
No, this is Harry Potter in the Chamber of Secrets, the best EA game for Game Boy Advance. Suck
Jesus
me.
Jesus Christ.
Look at that shit, little
suck
EA right
me
there.
Moving on to the quick hits, and Brandon will be happy about the first one. He actually will be happy. Hotline Miami 2 has been announced by the two-man team behind that game.
The question is, can they do better than the first Hotline Miami soundtrack? Because it's not possible, so they can only hope to make it as good.
Yeah, I don't believe we have... It's a grand finale for this series. There's not going to be a Hotline Miami 3 or anything like that. This is it for Hotline Miami. But it's going to take place in the 90s instead of the 80s. I don't know what kind of stuff you'll see pop culture-wise in it, but...
I actually feel like I'll be able to relate to that one better because I actually know the 90s.
Yeah,
I don't really know
you're, you're a 90s kid. You watch Doug, Wonder Years.
Yeah, absolutely.
This game is so crack-fueled Miami in the 80s, like the first game. it's amazing. It's fucking Miami Vice.
Miami's still crack-fueled now, so it's like, what difference is the game going to make?
You guys remember Y2K? Only 90s kids will remember that.
So
it's very true.
They do say they want to kind of work on the repetition of the game, although that was kind of the beauty of the game, is figuring out the best way and just doing it over and over again. But there's no release date yet, but I would think it would be out this year. It's made in a pretty simple engine, so they should be able to get it out. But that game's fucking awesome. If you don't have Hotline Miami, go get it. It'll be like $2 on a summer sale or midweek madness or something.
I love games like this because they're not like super long. They're not very difficult to figure out. They're really accessible. And every Steam sale, they're on sale for like nothing. It's a game that everyone should have in their Steam library.
It's $1.99, the last sale, I believe.
Yeah. So, and
a Reese's king-sized candy bar costs that much if you didn't know.
It's true.
But and you can get, if you like that kind of game and want to try high scores or like all A pluses, you can certainly replayability that thing forever.
Yeah, you can definitely replayability it.
Yes, replayability. Replayability it. Yes. That is what I said. next thing, AMD graphics cards already had the better bundle with that stupid free-to-play shit NVIDIA did. I want my 50 World of Tanks bucks with my 670. Thank you so fucking much, NVIDIA.
You can buy 50 gold bullets to win 50 games.
Oh, nice. Thank you so much. And I want that PlanetSide 2 money as well while we're at it. But apparently, AMD is coming out with a 7990 now at some point, and that BF4 was demoed on it.
7990's out already.
By third parties, not an actual endorsed one. Oh. And they run like they're kind of jury-rigged together. Like,
speaking of Battlefield, that fucking footage, that
it's
trailer
pretty insane looking, but it's single player, so I don't really give a shit.
I love watching Battlefield 3 trailers 2 years after Battlefield 3 releases.
I like the part where they shot things and didn't do anything that we've never seen before.
I like the part when there was really blinding sunlight. That was the best.
You guys are fucking
innovative. That's innovative.
It was pretty, but what did they do? What did they do that was that like blew you out of the water besides looking pretty?
Dude,
like they shot people.
Where the fuck is Bad Company 3?
Yes. That was my question.
How about a good game? Please give me one of those.
Question. Where's my Bad Company?
Dan hates Battlefield, and Dan loves Bad Company 2.
I love Bad Company 2. I have 30 or 40 hours in that game, which was 30 or 40 more hours than I thought I was going to put in it. So it's a really
At the end, they flash the Battlefield logo with dubstep, and it's like, fuck you, or Battlefield 4, fuck you. It's going to be awesome. It's just like, bwah, 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 over and over again.
I'll buy it just because I like to see how
Wait,
good...
Wait, no, at the end of the trailer, there was a girl. She was like, you got my back, right? I'm a girl gamer, huh? Did anybody else see that? It was great.
What?
there was a girl at the end of the 17-minute demo thing. It's like a female soldier, so it's pretty like risque and edgy, and like I'd upvote it and stuff. She's like, cover me.
Well, I saw a screenshot. There's a screenshot of a guy crying as he holds his fallen comrade.
No, he's sweating.
Oh
he's
man,
sweating.
Is this Spec Ops: The Battlefield
it's
line
be
coming
so
up?
So emotional.
Oh no. Oh no. Don't try to do that, Dice.
No, let's not bring up Spec Ops
demo. He wasn't
I like Spec Ops a lot.
Yeah, well Nick Fenton hates it, so let's not talk about that game a lot.
But anyway, AMD bundle, if it's what, Watch Dogs and Battlefield 4?
Yeah.
I mean if they do that I think NVIDIA is gonna have to do a lot better than their free to play bundle.
Yeah,
thing,
like whenever their current one expires. Looks like it could be Battlefield 4 and Watch Dogs for a high-end card.
Yeah, that's going to crush NVIDIA if the performance is similar.
Yeah, and
I'm saying is Watch Dogs, if executed correctly, is going to be incredible.
Yep, I hope it does. But so keep your eye on that for AMD cards. Apparently, all those frame issues are fixed. The last patches. But this next one's small, but awesome. And we mentioned it a little bit last week, but Duke Nukem 3D has been re-released, the Megaton Pack, it's called, on Steam. It's $9.99. What's cool about it, though, is that it includes all the Duke Nukem 3D DLC. Well, they're not DLC. This is old school, so it was expansions. So it's basically a pretty large chunk of levels, but there's four of those. And the cool thing, though, is it's going to support, or does support, Steam Play multiplayer. And that game is so fun, multiplayer. It's one of the first games where you could look up and down too, with that rather than just straightforward, like Doom. But yeah, I'm probably gonna buy it. We'll have to get a couple people to buy it and see if we can try out the multiplayer, see if it works at all. But that game is super fun. There's really fun weapons in multiplayer in Duke Nukem 3D.
It's just such a classic.
Yeah. Like the laser trip bombs, you can put
so
and you
good.
And the pipe bombs, which you have a detonator for, and you can set pipe bombs and look through security cameras and wait till people run by them and then just blow up a big pile of pipe bombs. So it's,
I know we talked about it before, but I put so many hours into that demo because mm-hmm. I didn't have the actual game.
Shareware,
baby. Duke Nukem 3D shareware demo,
yeah.
And it was so good.
But this includes like four expansion packs. So if you've only played the original or never played it, for $9.99, like I would honestly, if you haven't played,
it's just worth the nostalgia.
3D, it's just a badass game. Also, the first game's really hard. It's really hard actually, and quite long. But so that is on Steam. And then the last thing here is Marvel Heroes, a game which Nick and I at least like at like
from
the PAX
East
from a gameplay standpoint. Their pre-orders are out, and it has a release date. It's going to come out June 4th.
These pre-orders, man.
This is a free-to-play game. This is a free-to-play game, by the way, bros. I've linked the pre-orders in the stream chat, but we'll probably put them in the description for audio.
It's really unreal, these bundles.
So, this has 26 current heroes that are going to be in it, Marvel characters. And with a Marvel Universe game, obviously, you can just shove all the things. Once you have the Marvel license, you can just fucking put them all in there. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point if this game actually is okay. It has like League of Legends numbers as far as playable characters. But the first pack is actually the most baffling to me, although the extreme price of the third one is nuts. But the first pack, $20 and I get one extra hero. One?
Just one.
One?
But the estimated value is over $30, Dan.
just, for one hero estimated. Yeah.
You get one hero, two costumes, $10 of in-game currency, $5 of bonus currency, 2 days early access. Thank you so fucking much. No costumes, no enhanced costume. God. You don't even get beta access? I just saw that. You don't even get beta access for that $20.
Listen, if you're going to be a plebe and only drop $20, dude, then you don't deserve
it. You don't even get it for the $60 package. You don't get beta.
Give me the $200, dude. What do I get? What do I get for 200 bones? Look at this. I get an enhanced costume. I get closed beta access. Look, you don't even get closed beta access for 50 bones.
Yeah, I know. $200 and you get early beta
access. Then stop being casual.
God. Right.
You just go hardcore, man. Do you love the Marvel Universe or not? If you don't love it, then you're not gonna spend.
Do you have
bucks.
Stan Lee's penis in your mouth? Yes or no?
That's an awful image.
What's wrong?
Yeah,
with
this
Stan?
is insanity.
This is almost on the level of insanity that
I just love how they have the best value sticker on the top of the $200.
The splash value. Damage. What's the splash damage? Dirty bomb with $320 beta access or alpha access.
Jesus. I feel like these are they're just doing it so wrong. Like why do you have a $200 ultimate pack? I get if you want to put that to make it the there are some people who probably know they're going to love that game and maybe it's worth it, but why do you only put closed beta access with that pack?
Because that tells so many $20, dude. God.
That tells me that you don't that like you don't care about your beta being good.
Yeah,
right.
Like,
if you're going to limit it to that extent,
you could push so many $20 packages if you put closed beta on there. People will pay for betas. Yeah. I don't know why, but they will.
Well, no, I'll tell you what, dude. If this $20 pack had beta access, I probably would buy it too.
I would consider buying it.
Like,
I'm more okay with like if you want to put a small pre-order, especially on a free-to-play game, if you want to kind of force someone to put in their credit card info once, it's like getting someone over that first hump is the biggest challenge with free to play and getting people to pay. So I understand if you want to put $10 or $20 towards it and that's how you get closed beta access, I'm okay with that because that means that you're still going to have a lot of people that participate. And if you're a fan of Marvel, you're like, all right, I'll throw $10 or $20 at it. But when you only put it on your $200 package, I mean that's insulting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not a remake of Enemy Territory. Not paying $200.
So the other thing is, right, about this game is, so, you know, there's Marvel here. It's Marvel Universe, right? We just said you can just pull anything in from Marvel Universe on it, right? You start with, and I'm not going to get all these right, and I cannot find it right now. I found it at work this week. The heroes that come with the game, like the five that you start with, and it's like people that you don't give a shit about, like as far as that stuff. Like, it doesn't come at least with, like, Wolverine or something.
Oh, right. It has Hawkeye. Calm it down. Hawkeye's pretty cool.
It has Hawkeye, Storm.
I like Storm. Nice
kids. Storm's legit.
Oh, God. I wish I could find this. I'm not finding it on their page anywhere now, though. But just as what it comes with, you get one extra hero on top of this five, but none of them are... Oh, Daredevil.
The picture on the $20 package is great. Spider-Man's just hanging out there, and he's like, what the hell am I doing? Like, what's going on?
Spider-Man...
This website is real... I don't know. Looks like it was made by someone who just learned HTML yesterday from, like, coding GeoCities websites.
Freewebs.marvelheroes.com.
Storm and Daredevil and who did I just say? But yeah, it's just not five heroes that maybe you're attached to them, but probably not. Like in the grand scheme of if you're gonna sell a game, right? Maybe you're gonna put Wolverine in those five free characters. Like that.
I'm with you, Dan. Yeah, I don't give a shit about Storm or any of those other. Yeah.
Give me people. Gambit. I want some Gambit.
Just an X-Men that isn't Storm, please. Like,
I don't know why we're hating on Storm.
I'm not hating on Storm. I'm just saying, if you want to market
some nice Jehugans.
That's Jehugans. A new word for me. That's a brand new word in my world.
I think that's a new word for everyone. I don't know if that's a thing.
John, that's a thing.
Just made it up.
That's a thing.
Is it?
Supple tenders.
I want like Rufio. It's not even a Marvel character, but I just want to play as Rufio.
Rufio did a fucking AMA on Reddit a little while ago.
That's amazing.
I know. I saw that.
God, that's just so bad.
It is bad. It's fucking terrible, dude.
They also get you get 7 early access days with the ultimate pack. You only get 4 with the premium pack or 2 with the starter pack. So how much do you love this game?
Think about what you're saying, though. Yeah. If you buy the $200 pack, it gives you 7 days early access. You're already in the closed beta.
Yeah, but you know what I bet that means? I bet that means that nothing in closed beta carries over to launch.
As well, it shouldn't. But
that's it's like, why does it matter then? Give everyone access to closed beta. That's the point of the beta.
Yeah.
You want to find the stuff that's imbalanced and the stuff that doesn't work right.
Okay, so
it's like, why are you only going to make... You're going to have no one in that beta.
And get this, right? So the starter pack, you can't even... You can choose which hero you get. You can't choose all of them. So, like, there's 3 or 4 that are still... You can't get in the starter pack for $20. You can't choose. So it doesn't... Obviously doesn't include the 5 characters that are unlocked. But then it doesn't include all of the other ones either. So... Because there's 26 total. There's... What? 12... 14 starter packs. And you get 5 free. So you're still missing out. Like...
I just feel like this pricing is trying to cash in on people's... just insane love for the Marvel universe, because those people are out there.
Yeah,
but I feel like that's ridiculous to someone who's not like a huge comic book lover or really invested in that universe.
The kind of fans that are molding, you know, Storm figurines out of wooden trees and then jerking off onto them.
They don't have jobs.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, they don't have $200.
So they have time to form a wood-shaped Storm out of their sycamore tree and then jerk off on it. That's fine. But, you know,
but I feel
no
like
one
how
else
many people are really going to feel like they get $200 worth out of this game when no one has really been able to play it except for like small sessions at PAX. And I guess you'd get to play the closed beta, but the only way you can play the closed beta is if you pay the money.
Yeah, joke's on you. I bought 3 of those $200 packs for 3 accounts, so you're mad.
No, like,
you're already in $200. You're going to have to try and justify and like, I like this game because you spent $200 on it.
You sure as hell better like it.
Yeah, the biggest mistake is no beta access for if you pay money. If you pay money, you should get beta access.
Yeah,
like
I agree.
I understand a minimum, like have a $10 package, pay, and have it only be for beta access, like Path of Exile did. That's fine.
If I pay $200
about Path of Exile,
nope.
If I pay $200 and there is not a dungeon with Stan Lee as the boss, I'm gonna be fucking pissed because I want to fight Stan Lee.
You want to kill Stan Lee, huh?
I want to eat his heart and gain his strength.
At least with Dirty Bomb, they give you like access to an IRC channel and like some really hardcore features. This is just straight up like a better, you know, more heroes and costumes. Whereas Dirty Bomb, it's like, all right, well, at least you'll get some personal interaction if you really, really love this game.
I mean, maybe the $200 one is a joke. Maybe it's an April Fool's joke, and they're like, huh, no one will buy this. And then, you know.
And then they
like
boost it up to $300.
That best value sticker is not a joke, Scott. Estimated value is over $750, okay?
And now it's time for Twitter questions with the KB Mod Podcast.
Jesus Christ.
All right, moving on to Twitter. First question from Zany Irish Dude. What's Zany Dude guy? Oh my goodness. He asks, if you had to live in one country in the world, which one would it be? Apart
Sweden.
From America.
North Korea.
Sweden.
All Sweden.
Right. Yep. Chile. I would actually go for Chile.
Yeah, Sweden's a strong answer. I've always wanted to be British, so I would live in England. I don't know. Something about it.
Wait.
That's my second choice.
Doesn't Sweden have like the high... It's like most Hot happy, lawns. But it also has like the highest rate of suicide.
How does that work? Like
if
that?
You had to put IKEA furniture together 24 hours a day, you might want to kill yourself after a bit.
No, the Swedes kill themselves because they are so sick of being so happy and content. That's why.
Everything's like, amazing here.
My internet is too good. I've downloaded everything already.
There is no pain. They don't know the other side of life. They only know joy, so they have to kill
themselves.
They're
tired of having such great internet and such beautiful women. It's just it's overwhelming at times.
Such great healthcare and shit. God damn it.
Man. They do pay high taxes, though. Well, like all.
I have actually looked into moving to Sweden, like
really?
The nitty gritty of doing so. Yes. So
yeah, and you probably could get away with not even learning Swedish. You could probably just
To be honest,
speak English. They all speak English.
Who lives in Stockholm? Generally. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go, guys.
I don't know. I'd live in Australia, like in one of the beach towns.
Seriously, you want just get death by a fucking black mama all over you? I guess
you don't want to play online games anymore, Brandon.
Australia, mate. Yeah.
You don't want blood in your games either.
You want to wake up with koalas nibbling on your balls, dude? That's just fucked up.
They have like ants that can kill you and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Australia is probably beautiful, but fuck all that wildlife, dude. I'm out. Everything there can kill you. Everything.
Can contact Brandon at Wallaby Way, Sydney.
Did you know P. Sherman 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney is actually a real place? It was on Reddit. Yeah, somebody went to Sydney, Australia and found Wallaby Way, and there is an orthodontics office called P. Sherman. Wow. 142 Wallaby Way in Sydney.
God,
that is not a fake thing. It is real.
Their business probably just exploded. Yeah. People were getting braces for no reason.
See, we got Australians in the chat. Australia in a nutshell. Criminals, fire, heat, and spiders.
God, sounds terrible.
And then cyberways. But koala matings are loud as fuck. So there you go. If that's right, what you want,
I rescind my answer.
Pick New Zealand. Pick New Zealand instead. You can go hang out with Kim.com, dude. Duke it out.
I think it'd be cool to live in like a Caribbean island or something. Because I figured this question is more about like if you had to have some alternate life in, you know, some faraway country. I think that would be cool.
Yeah. I'd be down with that.
Just live island life.
So we got two Swedens, Britain, island life, and Chile.
Yeah.
Chile.
Any reason for Chile?
It's Chile. Fucking gorgeous.
It is gorgeous there.
A friend of mine in high school named Courtney went there, and she had pictures on Facebook, and like it's the first time I've ever like masturbated to a scenic image.
To a landscape image.
And the landscape was just like got me all excited.
There you go, Brandon. 0.8 upload for that guy in Australia. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Boy needs a faster
that
upload
is
for his
president of Australia.
All right, next question is from Adam Bennett 93. If you were to choose one game for another podcast member to only be able to play, what would it
so
be?
So easy for me. Nick Fenton plays League of Legends for the rest of his life. That's it.
That's the worst you could do.
Scott plays Han.
Scott plays on for the rest of his
that's
life.
That's pretty bad.
God.
Yeah. I don't even hate League of Legends, so I mean,
that's great, dude.
I just have standards. That's the problem.
Brandon plays $200 pack Marvel Heroes for the rest of his life.
Would be
I would make John play Call of Duty on Xbox.
I don't know if John
buy an XIM 360.
Nope, you have to play with the controller.
Nope.
I would say that.
You don't have a choice.
Said
you
pick a game.
Choice.
You said pick a game, not pick a peripheral.
Oh my god!
Fuck yourself.
I'd somehow make a game out of making Dan watch all 10 seasons of King of Queens on League of his life.
That'd I quit. Amazing.
I bet there's a King of Queens video game.
There probably is of some kind.
I remember I had the Home Alone video game for Super Nintendo. Game was fucking shitty. It was terrible. Holy shit, was it bad.
Oh, yeah, John played MapleStory. That's a good point.
Fuck off. Nick already picked one.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's... God, King of
I would have Scott only play Counter-Strike Source for the rest of his life, and he would still...
Oh, make him play, what's it called? The
Condition Zero.
Condition Zero.
Yeah, Condition Zero.
I'd make him play Counter-Strike Source so he could never make it.
Twenty years
from now.
20 years. There's no organized league anymore, but I'm still playing it. Having to try to strive. I'll make up my own league. I'll make invites someday.
Eventually, the master server goes down, and you just play local with bots.
Right. I'm the king of my domain.
Didn't they come up like single player missions too, or was that a different?
Yeah,
it was Condition Zero. Did Condition Zero?
Yeah. Play them sick campaign missions, man.
I played through all of them.
Did you learn a lot about the game?
Yeah, dude, tons. My shot got honed in. I made Cal Eye. It was amazing. Next question we haven't done a Fuck, Marry, Kill in a very long time, but I liked this one. So, at Smiley Pinecone asks, Fuck, Marry, Kill, you have to pick from the 9 TF2 classes.
Man.
Ooh, there's no women in that. So
we don't know. We don't know if the pyro is a female or male.
We don't know if the pyro is a female or male.
So I'm fucking the pyro because I have a thought that she is a woman.
Yeah, I'm gonna fuck the pyro. I'm gonna marry the heavy because he makes delicious sandwiches.
Yeah,
and, I'm going to kill the spy because I fucking hate spies.
I'm down with that. I'm down.
I think that is objectively the right answer. That's to all really three of
those. Yeah, I think John is. Kind of hit it on the head.
I don't even play that game, so
I would marry the medic because he's a doctor and he makes bank, and I would fuck the scout because I would just make him say bonk the entire time, and then I'd kill the spy.
Yeah, everyone's gonna kill the spy in this situation. The heavy's also very rich. He's got to buy those bullets for Natasha. Those things are not cheap.
I think you gotta marry the heavy because protection,
he
sandwiches.
Can protect you. He makes sandwiches. God, he's the perfect man. The heavy.
And he's got a great accent too.
Yeah. God damn, man. I never thought of the heavy this way.
Dan's having like a religious experience about this. It's like an epiphany. It's like He really is the perfect man for me.
See, the soldier would just boss you around and shit. Like yelling orders, barking orders. The engineer just seems like an adult, despite the fact that he can make shit. He can't make sandwiches, though. Fuck him.
Someone say something bad about the demo so I can call you a racist.
Demo is so overpowered. It's stupid. It's the best class in the game.
That's a hate crime.
Yeah.
It's the best class in the game. It's terrible.
All right.
You
next...
wouldn't want to marry the scout either because he's just going to taunt you and make fun of you.
Yeah. That'd be annoying to live with.
Bonk.
This next question is from... actually, I would have also asked this question. As we talked about it when Brandon was away from his desk for a little bit. At Staffu Noob asks, why does Brandon have two office chairs and what appears to be a full-body mirror in the background?
Well,
I think we went over this a couple
Hillary,
weeks ago.
Hillary
you sit
will
in the
coming.
Chair and you look at yourself.
Yeah, that's what he says. You get pumped on the chair.
He perfects his gaming posture in that chair in front of the full mirror, and then he goes to his computer.
There you go.
He's got to warm up his sitting.
Chez has a good theory as well. He does the splits naked while looking at his dog. That's a solid theory.
Do you put the mirror on the floor and then you do the splits above the mirror?
So that's what my grundle
looks like.
Can't
really comment on how the process works. That's a trade secret.
I just before the cast started and you were AFK for a second, I was like, why does he have a second chair? That's really weird.
The real answer is that those are Hillary's.
Okay.
She's just not here yet, so it's
Damn
always
it.
Empty.
So, there you go. Next question is from at Shrimp Dimension. If you Nighthawk someone just to congratulate them on a good fight and not to be gay, is it still gay or are you just a real bro?
Both.
Both is the question. It's always gay.
You're a real gay bro.
I don't get why people are always like, Nighthawk is super gay, dude. Like, I don't know. It's never not been gay. So, yes, it's still gay. And that's just extra icing on the cake, I suppose, if you're going to Nighthawk them again.
The thing is that there's got to be intent behind it, right? You're always going to congratulate them on a good fight because that's just good manners.
That's just good Nighthawking etiquette, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the etiquette. But you need to, there needs to be passion behind the fight. You're not just fighting so that you can congratulate them afterwards.
Yeah.
That doesn't even make sense.
I'm with you on this. Yeah, that's called, exactly, it's called being a gentleman. That's what it's called. So there you go. For all your Nighthawking etiquette needs, KB Mod is here for you. If you get in any awkward Nighthawking situations, Mr. Shrimp Dimension, you let us know and we'll help you out. Last question here while I look at this fucking Drake gif just repeat underneath it. Mr. Slim Cognito asks, John just fucking deletes it.
What? No!
Mr. Slim Cognito asks, you can only walk one way for the rest of your life, the Carlton dance or Gangnam Style?
Absolutely the Carlton dance. Yeah, there's not even a question.
Carlton dance, yeah.
Carlton dance is the only answer here.
It's the best dance, dude.
Gangnam Style is like so played out, man. Carlton dance is fresh still after all these years. No one does the Carlton dance. Come on. Yeah.
My buddy Phil can do the Carlton dance exactly like Carlton. The number one video on YouTube for the Carlton dance where he gets the candle and shit and sings, Phil knows the entire dance and he does it. He worked at UPMC with me. He used to do it all the time. He'd make me pay him like $5 to do it and I would do it every time. I'd pay him once a day to see him do it.
Your buddy Phil, Uncle Phil?
I wish.
Dr. Phil?
I believe he died. But
no, he didn't. He lives on in our hearts.
Angelo Ribeiro or whatever.
That's not how death works, Brandon.
Angelo Ribeiro, he's still alive. Whatever his first name was.
Oh, Carlton. God, please not Phil Fish.
No, it's not Phil Fish. He's nobody's buddy guy. But, all right, guys. That is it for the podcast this week. That was a good podcast. Solid.
It was real good.
Yeah. A little intimate for a bit.
You know? Give a shout out to Sean Passaw, former WoW Guild member. Do you remember Mask?
Yes.
He and his wife are expecting their first child.
Oh, nice.
Well done. Nice. Well done on finishing inside.
Nice job,
excellent
dude.
Excellent work.
She's
excellent
man work. After my own heart. So. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at KBModGaming, Facebook.com/KBMod, YouTube.com/KBModGaming, and follow us, all of us individually, of course, for all your Call of Duty needs. We will be back next week, episode 87, with Jared Gerritsen. That is it, guys.